I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Another great documentary screening this week at the Vancouver International Film Festival is Curl Power. In the film, director Josephine Anderson follows a teenage curling team from Maple Ridge, 4K Girls. They're a hardworking group of friends who strive to be curling champions, who are coached by three of their mothers who happen to be former Olympians. In the film, we see them curl, but we also see them grow up and contend with all those issues that young people have to deal with: self-esteem, body image, anxiety, depression, breakups, and all the other transitions that people in high school go through. And as they go through them together, curling is both incidental as well as what keeps them together. The film captures these young women often in vulnerable ways, and through Josephine's well-placed camera, we see how they grow up throughout the film. The film's quiet nature allows the viewer to think about their own formative years and how they've been leavened by the friendships formed in those all-too-important years. Curl Power is Josephine Anderson's debut feature. She previously appeared on the program in 2020 when her short On Falling premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. This new film screens Thursday the 3rd of October at 6 p.m. and Saturday the 5th of October at 3:45 p.m. at SFU Woodwards. Visit VIFF.org for tickets and information. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Josephine Anderson. Ms. Anderson, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. How long did you spend with these girls, these teenagers?
Well, I first met them at the end of 2019, and we filmed right up until 2023. So all in, it was about 3.5 years of actual filming.
And how do you come to choose these particular teenagers?
Well, I was looking for a general team in that age group. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to find a team of curlers, 13, 14 years old, and through Curl BC was introduced to this team, as well as another team as well. But this one, the chemistry was just automatic with the 4K girls. You know, we felt everyone was very excited. I could see that they had a particular chemistry within their group. Their friendship seemed really unusual and unique. And so from the beginning, I was like, okay, I think this is going to work out really well. This is the team to follow.
And I guess because you were looking for a teen group, I'm curious to know, in particular, this group, the 4K girls, what leads them to take up curling? Because as we see in the film, a couple of the girls have moms who were curlers at one point, went to the Olympics even. Is this a sport that they wanted to do, or was it something that they were perhaps led to do because they had this connection to it?
Yeah, well, I think at first it's just sort of in the air in their families. Mm. Some of them, their fathers might have also curled, their grandparents. Like, it's definitely a thing that can sometimes be passed down through the generations. But that said, some of them have siblings that just completely don't curl at all. So there's definitely an inner interest in the sport. But I would say, like a lot of sort of team sports at the team level, like, you might love the sport, but what kept them there is was their friendship. I mean, sticking with one sport for essentially your entire high school phase, it's not something everyone does. You know, you might try something else, but they felt really motivated to stick with it, I think, because of that combo of loving the sport, but also finding that sense of belonging and sort of like connection through their team.
Yeah, they're quite close, aren't they? And someone says early on in the movie that closeness is both their strength and their weakness. I'm curious to know why one might think it's a weakness.
I think it's because when you really know each other at that level, the emotions can go multiple directions. You know, when you're curling is a mental game more than anything, and it's obviously physical as well, and takes a lot of sort of like repetitive skill building. But at the end of the day, you're showing up to a game, and if you can kind of get in flow with your own mental state, you're going to perform better. So any interpersonal team dynamics that might be kind of brewing are going to have an effect on your level of play. And so their closeness leads to a high level of trust, really being able to read one another's body language and help support each other through. Like if one of the teammates might be struggling mentally on the ice, the others can maybe swoop in and try to lift her up and see it coming. But at the same time, if there's any, you know, tension or stress or frustration, that can also, as it does, I mean, among say siblings or sisters, it can also escalate. So it's kind of a double edge, like a pro and a con, so to speak.
So you're dealing with five teenagers throughout the film. What is it like getting their trust and showing them? Because we do see them at some very vulnerable moments, in not just in the movie, but in life itself.
Mm-hmm.
What are the conversations you're having to say gain their gain that access, if you will?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a multi-year trust building exercise in a way. And I would phone the girls every couple weeks, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or so, have a phone call for a couple of hours, catching up on life, finding out what's going on in their kind of inner world, what's weighing on them and what's bringing them joy, and kind of figure out a sort of constellation of each of their lives every few weeks. So this was like a huge undertaking, you can imagine, with five central characters, which, like, side note, that's in sort of a very wacky undertaking for a filmmaker to take on. But five central characters plus three kind of peripheral ones with their coach moms.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of kind of consistent check-ins over the span of multiple years. And so that's a big part of it. We just were talking so frequently, and I genuinely cared about them and what was going on, and they could feel that. And then, you know, through filming regularly as well. Of course, the camera can make us feel so awkward. Especially, like, you should see me on the red carpet. Like, when I'm interviewed, it's so awkward. I'm the worst on camera. I don't wish anyone the duty or task of having to film me. But, you know, I think just showing up regularly with these girls, like, they did become comfortable with the camera. And I also put a lot of effort into making sure that our crew, like, small crew typically with a camera, like a cinematographer and a sound person and myself, and sometimes just myself doing sound earlier in the process. You know, that's such a small team, and I made sure that those folks were kind of like tuned in, I guess, emotionally before going into any production day. Like, what are we going to be filming? Is it something sensitive? So that everyone can be kind of mentally in a state of like being receptive and like tuned in to what the girls might be feeling, so that it was like a safe environment for everyone.
Yeah, and they talk about such personal things. It's almost that they don't notice the camera, if you will.
And part of that's also that, I mean, sometimes we're filming solo with them, but I did have an intention early on of trying to film them together when possible, so that there's like one more layer, I guess, of comfort and safety when they're filming. You know, if they're with one of their best friends, and if a person's with one of their best friends talking about, let's say, like, any number of things, it can really, like a big breakup, for example, that's a lot easier to kind of, like, explore with one of your best friends than, like, you know, maybe being interviewed about it. So that was part of our approach as well. But as time went on, you know, that wasn't really as needed. I definitely filmed with them a lot independently as well. And by that point, our trust was just so strong that, I don't know, I think it felt not just safe, but also maybe meaningful. Like, I think so often, I don't know, like, young women are often overlooked or kind of like subtly treated as if, like, what they're thinking about or what they're going through is like, you know, not that important. And so if a filmmaker's coming in and saying, like, I'm going to spend, like, 4 years making a film about you and the things you're going through, I think it automatically gives you a sense of, like, gave them a sense of, like, okay, like, my life has meaning and merit, and like the things I'm going through matter, and that like being filmed from that place of like, oh, this person thinks that what I'm going through matters is like a safe. Not that safety was the number one goal, but I think it just automatically creates that sense of security. Like, okay, I can open up about this, and I want to, and it's going to give something back to me as well to work through what I'm going through vocally, and yeah.
Yeah, they also trust you not just with their feelings, their angst, and their worry, but with their goals and their dreams. And I found that incredibly beautiful to see, because as you said a moment ago, talking about what you want or where you're headed. That can be hard for a lot of people, and especially at that age, to get the chance to have someone hear that. You know, I mean, it's, some of it is, like early on where they say that they're going to find someone rich to marry, the same guy. You know what I mean? I mean, some of it, you know, it's silly or but I mean, you see in that moment, for example, just how they want to be in each other's lives,
mm-hmm.
and how important mm-hmm. they think that is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like we are, whether we're aware of it or not, we're all, subjects within systems, right? And they're like, at least for me growing up, like I had this feeling of like, okay, my friends matter, but what does independence mean? What does it mean to grow up? And there's maybe a pressure that you have to kind of separate from the people that you've found your shape next to,
mm-hmm.
Find your own path and be independent, and then particularly within, like we are filming within, you know, Vancouver, Canada, 2020s, you know, it's a particular context that we're in. And I think maybe part of my intention as a filmmaker was to celebrate like these friendships that they have, even if they do shift and change over time. I mean, in this moment, this is central to their life, and just as valuable as any other kind of social system that, system, you know, the like shape that we might try to inhabit, like romantic partnerships or like, you know, career paths or whatever. Like this friendship is meaningful.
Yeah,
and
it's meaningful whether they remain friends, mm-hmm. And it's just as meaningful as say the relationship with one of the teenagers and their mother, one of the teens and their grandmother. Which is I thought those two sections in the film were quite beautiful. What you capture there about that dynamic between mother and daughter and grandmother and granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. 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 Like, you know, because the team of five curlers, they're being coached by three mothers, mm-hmm. Who are also like elite curlers, but they're also moms. Like there's naturally a sort of intergenerational dynamic at play in mm-hmm. the filming. And, that's interesting to think about. We don't have to hit the nail too hard on the head,
yeah.
But subtly there's this thing of like, okay, what did the women that came before me go through, and what am I going through, and how do we find our shape as we're kind of fumbling through like the difficult and joyful things in life, and in the sort of shadows of our former generations, or slash in the sort of like through the doors that they've opened for us, you know, like there's a lot of sort of generational subtlety, I think, in the film.
Yeah. Well, when they talk about how confident they are, or they talk about body image or weight, these are awfully raw moments. What do you think audiences could learn from these moments that you've captured, say?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tempting to just say, oh, you know, when we cover things like this in a film, it can give something to someone, make them feel more confident, or like it's okay, and make things better, and that may be true, but I think I think what it does for audiences is it can make you feel like if you've been through that, or if you're going through it, like I'm not the only one. That's not necessarily a super active, like, a solution for anyone, right? It's just this, I think when we can see ourselves reflected in a movie, that can feel good, and feel, I don't know. What is the value of that? It's hard to pin down. But yeah.
Well,
it makes someone feel something good.
You know, as talking as a guy, one of the things I noticed as watching the film, I'm thinking about the things in my life, you know, the relationships I had with friends growing up. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about how I interact with people now. Because, you know, I think I've mentioned this already, you know, these teenagers are awfully hard. Whatever your background is or wherever you grow up. And I think a lot of adults need to realize that, just in how they interact with teenagers and what they need to say or what they don't need to say,
mm-hmm.
just as much say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super interesting actually speaking with you about it, because, like, I think the film is, like, it's all the essential, it's almost all women in the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's actually
yeah.
pretty rare to see, yeah. like a man or like any other gender really in the film. It's very much like a female-centric film. I guess I'm I think sometimes that makes people maybe make the assumption, oh, this is like a film just for women.
Sure.
So I'm super curious of what your read on it was as a viewer and how that...
Well, you know, I was trying to figure out where they were from. Like, I thought it was Vancouver Island, and then we learn later on that it's Maple Ridge. I liked seeing that part of the world I don't think I've ever been to Maple Ridge now that I think about it. Maybe I've been there once as a kid, you know, driving through or something like that. But everything looks the same, and it's very different from the neighborhood that I live in here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was never into sports. And so, that world itself was fascinating to look at. For, you know, the duration of the film. And, I spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, the friendships in high school that you do develop, the good and the bad, and that stay with you inevitably through, I'm 42, and a lot of those relationships, some of them have fallen aside as one moves on. Thankfully, but some of them, you know, a lot of them do stay, and sometimes I'm thinking, I'm friends with a lot of these people, just because it's habit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a shorthand, there's the vernacular that you inevitably fall into that, you know what they're thinking about, they know what you're thinking about,
mm-hmm.
and that's 25, 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to build it when one's an adult, right?
It's true, and you can make new friendships, but it's not the same. And
Yeah. Maybe
that's interesting. Like, we know that our teenagers are so fleeting, and they're so chaotic and crazy in some ways, and then they're also so amazing. And it's just a total roller coaster. And the friendships you happen to make during that phase, it's like, that's it for that phase. Then you're done. You move on to the next stage of your life, and that will be what it will be. And so, it's magical to get to film one particular set of friends that, by happenstance, that their moms knew each other. They wanted to make a curling team. That's how it all started, and they're put together, and they build this friendship that is going to be there in one form or another for the rest of their lives, whether they're close or not. I think like you, I can really relate to that. And the film itself, like in general, like overall, I would say the film is really an exploration of friendship, which is sort of interesting too, because most of the time when we're making documentaries now, we're often looking for really the most challenging, the most difficult issues and topics that we're facing societally. And friendship is like this kind of like low-key universal thing that we all have to navigate. But I find that meaningful. Like, it was such a joy to get to make a film that explores the ins and outs of friendship, you know?
Do you think you'll follow these young women, not necessarily for a film, but just for your own interest, life itself, say?
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I've made a bunch of shorts before. This is my first feature. And, you know, I'm in touch with some of these folks, for sure. But I've never had the opportunity to film and to film for this long and become so entrenched in one another's lives to this level. So, I mean, now I actually get so much joy when we reconnect. We have phone calls every couple months still and catch up and find out what's going on in their lives. So that's actually a gift for me. I'm looking forward to continuing that for a long time to come.
And this is your first feature. I've talked to you about a short that you made previously. I was going to ask what the process is like. I mean, is making a feature just making a longer short? I mean, is there something different that one has to do as a filmmaker to go from one to the other?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's really different because this puzzle of one big arc that you're trying to shape as you, especially over like a longitudinal film like this, that you're kind of having to track, is this making sense and are we capturing something that will somewhat follow some kind of story? And then you're also capturing all these micro arcs. And I think in a short film, you can be a little bit more aggressive about hitting, you know, two or three really good beats as story beats, and like, you're not necessarily as obliged to play those out and let those have like different flavors emerging over time. You can kind of maybe have this smaller moment where a piece of the story comes through and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And in the feature format, I found, you're really trying to track, or I was really trying to track the evolution of these people over time. So making sure that I'm capturing the right material to build that portrait over time was super challenging. And then, of course, there's all the other stuff, like logistically. You know, it's a bigger budget, it's more crew, it's more footage. So everything is a little bit more complicated. And I should say, again, like making a film for 4 years, pretty typical, I would say, for documentary, but maybe not so typical to film for that long. But making a film for that long, a lot happens in your own life as a filmmaker. So you're changing, you have things happening in your personal and professional life, and then you're sort of trying to shepherd and carry the torch for this film baby, this film idea, mm-hmm. through all of that. And that's just a particular type of challenge. It's not going to unfold in just one season of your life. It's going to be multiple things that you're going to go through and change through as you're making the film. So can you keep the ball in the air through all that? It's just a particular type of challenge.
Yeah, and then you found it, the entire process, you found it valuable in terms of just looking at your own life, say?
Yeah, you know, okay, it is an interesting, like, behind-the-scenes thing is I ended up having a baby in the middle of production, which is wacky, trying to make a feature while also becoming a parent, especially for the first time, first kid. So, yeah, when I started making the film, I really felt like an older version of one of them, if that makes sense. Like, film with them, and I was like, you know, slightly out of my element with some of their vernacular, but like also, but also like kind of just goofy and bubbly,
yeah.
And with them. And their mother felt like the next generation up to me. And now, like in the process of making the film and becoming a mother myself, I still feel a lot in common with the girls, no doubt, and
yeah.
Especially as they age, but I definitely can put myself in the shoes of their mothers more so. And so that's a very interesting shift that has happened to me, and I think my point of view in the film shifted as well as I went through all that in my own life.
Yeah, out of nowhere, I guess, or having nothing to do with what you just said, there's a beautiful moment in the scene where one of the girls is with her grandmother. And the grandmother, you know, talks about all these things that she's hoping for her granddaughter. And she says, you know, I just wish I would be around, I'm paraphrasing now, when you become, you know, when you become a woman or you get older and I don't know. I got weepy watching that. She's just not an older grandmother, and as the granddaughter says, conceivably she should be in her 90s when all this happened, and yet, I don't know. You captured something really beautiful in that moment. Mm-hmm. Well, what is it like when you're behind the camera and you hear something like that?
Mm-hmm. It feels like it just feels really good. Like if you have a creative streak, and you know that, if you're familiar with that feeling of when you're just in your creative element and you feel like that sort of tingly feeling, that sort of like a little bit raw in your chest, like that's how I feel or felt when I was filming that scene. It's what a privilege to have access to a really direct, significant bond between two people that they're exposing me to, what it is that connects them. But that was also informed by my own personal experiences growing up. I was really, really, close with my grand. Mm-hmm. And, I remember like that type of connection, something similar to what happened to her grandma have. And then, you know, my grand passed away and I had to go through that grief and that process. And now she lives within me. And some of us have had the joy of that type of grandparent relationship. And so getting to film that, having gone through that whole kind of like life cycle of a grandparent relationship myself, and then getting to film Sav in the middle of that with her grandmother, was like such a gift. Because I think similarly, I'm remembering my own experiences as I'm filming her in the middle of hers. And that type of like love, I mean, it's so mushy, but that type of love is so beautiful, right? Yeah. And the fleetingness of it, where you just know you don't know what life has in store, and there's always the option that a curveball might happen, and then the sort of quote unquote natural course of things might get like turned upside down. But you expect that, like, okay, at some point your grandparents going to pass away, and you will have to keep living your life with whatever they've given you and the memories that you've created together. And that's just so beautiful and painful. Like, nothing lasts. And that's, you know, of course, what gives a lot of things in life their precise meaning, is the knowing that we can't really hold on to them too tightly.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking of not just grandparents. I knew one grandparent out of four. But I'm thinking of friends that older people and younger, you know, people my age that I, you know, have passed away in the course of one's life. And you think of them affectionately, obviously, you know, as you watch a moment like that. And then you think, you know, wherever they might be, they're rooting for you. And I can't help but think that Sav will think that forever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. And like, I think it's cool that there's going to be some version of that in the film for her when she's older. You know, I don't know. It's pretty rare and cool. So I'm happy that we got to do that together.
And for everybody that watches the film, obviously, will feel that. What have our protagonists, what have our stars of the film, what have they thought of seeing themselves in it?
Okay, showing a film after working on it for so many years to your main participants is so nerve-wracking. I was so nervous, but I also knew that the whole way along, I really kept them in mind and had that sense, that question constantly in my brain. Like, if they watch this, are they going to feel like it's giving them dignity and respect?
Yeah.
You know, there, of course, when you're feeling that much, there are things you could include that might not be so enjoyable to watch, and like, do you include those things knowing it could harm a person who participated? That's like a perpetual documentary ethics question that everyone's questioning all the time, but for me, I felt like, okay, it's not my job to make them look perfect, but it is my job to make sure I'm not putting some outlier behavior in there that's going to make them look like someone they're not.
Mm-hmm.
As teenagers, of course, we all have moments where, you know, we're up and down. And so some of that stuff's in there, but I made sure that to the best of my ability, is representing them in a way that felt fair and dignified and honoring that their basic, like, integrity. And so I felt like when I showed it to them, even if it is uncomfortable to watch at times, maybe, that they would feel good about or okay with it and content and accepting of it. When a person watches themselves in a film for the first time, it is shocking and difficult. Like, you're so enwrapped in just noticing the little things about, like, do I look weird in that image? Do I sound weird in that clip?
What do I look like when I'm asleep?
Yeah, oh my gosh, for real. So all of that, of course, is present. I made sure to show it to them privately before we had a public screen and go through, like, a discussion process to make sure that there's no, like hardcore red flags that would be, like, insurmountable for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, yeah, like, everyone, like, it's been just amazing. Like, all five of the girls are really proud of the film and proud of themselves, even in the moments where they're vulnerable or imperfect, so to speak. So I think they all feel like they really love it, which is, like, such a relief.
Yeah.
Totally know.
Yeah, I can't help but think that they'll be proud of it, and I hope they know people watching it will be rooting for them and thinking that there's nothing they can't do in life. Because and it's not just because of this friendship, but I think the curling is obviously valuable and has taught them a lot, and it'll serve them well as they grow older. Congratulations, Josephine, on this film. It's just a beautiful piece, and continued good luck with it. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this.
Thanks, Joseph.
The film is called Curl Power. It's at the Vancouver International Film Festival tomorrow, the 3rd of October, 6 p.m. at SFU Woodward's. There's another screening there Saturday, the 5th of October. That's at 3:45 p.m. Josephine Anderson, its director, joined me on the line. From Bowen Island in Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.